Well, hello and welcome to our first original Walleye 101 Teaching Fishing podcast. We're here in our new digs, our new background, all of our new cool little toys. I got Tim here with us on the camera and running the sound, so we're really excited about what we've got going here. I'm Captain Lance Valentine, the founder of Walleye 101 and Teaching Fishing, and what we're going to do every week is put together a little podcast that you can either listen to or watch. And we're going to talk about latest topics in walleye fishing, talk about equipment, a little bit of electronics, and just kind of get you headed in the right direction on what you're going to need to do to catch some more fish. We're really looking forward to this platform to be able to share fishing information with our friends and kind of stay on top of what's going on and give you current information. You don't have to wait for a seminar. So we're pretty excited about what the Teaching Fishing podcast is going to be. You can also catch our seminars and other things. We'll talk about those a little bit later. But every Thursday on our Facebook page at Lance Valentine's Walleye 101 and on our Walleye 101 public forum, you'll be able to get a download for the podcast and get a chance to either watch it or listen to it. So again, we are pretty excited. Welcome. Thank you for tuning in. We are pretty excited about this opportunity to get together and spend a little bit of time talking about walleye fishing. So let's get started right away. As we're doing this, we are in a transition, a fun time of year, kind of. We're in a transition basically from summer to fall. So we're in this what we call the post-summer transition, where in summertime we had the warmest water temperatures we're going to have all year. Those are starting to drop a little bit. We're starting to get some cooler nights this time of year. Bait fish are starting to diminish. We're at a peak in bait fish populations. Those are obviously... Now, any bait fish that get eaten right now by game fish are not going to be replenished. So bait fish are getting lower. The weeds are starting to not be as high as they were. We're also probably starting to see some weeds starting to die a little bit as we turn into some colder nights. So we're in our first of four phases in our fall fishing. This is the summer, what we call the post-summer. From summer, the warm of summer, into the first part of fall. And we're going to do the next couple of weeks. We're going to talk about each one of these progressions. This one is post-summer to basically post-summer into early fall. Then we'll talk about early fall. We'll talk about turnover. Then we'll talk about what we call the late fall or early cold water period, where we can catch a lot of big walleye. So we're going to kind of walk you through the next couple podcasts on how we can stay on fish this time of year, what's happening in the environment, and where we need to go to make some adjustments. Now, hopefully, everybody out there had as good of walleye season this summer as I did. I fished on Saginaw Bay. A lot of you know I fish on the Great Lakes a lot, and Saginaw Bay was fantastic. A lot of fish shallow. We're still fishing. You know, we're right now in the middle of September. Still fishing shallow water, 6, 7, 8, 9 feet of water, maybe out to 12 or 14. Fishing weed beds, the first major drop off. And those fish have stayed there all summer because we've had some really good north winds. Usually every 3, 4, 5 days, and a lot of times at night we get a couple hours of north wind would keep that water cool. But still, we're at that 72, 73, 74 water temperature, which I'm sure a lot of you are seeing on the bodies of water that you fish. So what's going to start happening now as we go from this summer to early fall, or this post-summer transition? Again, we talked a little bit about what's going to happen. The water is going to cool. Bait fish are low. But fish are going to start, our game fish are really going to start thinking about feeding up for winter. Because remember, once they get to cold water, early December, mid-December, late December, depending on where we're at, maybe even early January, what's going to happen is they're going to want to continue to put on weight and put on fat to get through the trials of not only winter, but also the trials of spawning in spring. Because remember, we don't have a lot of bait fish that spawn before the walleyes go up and lay their eggs. So this little stress time from late October, mid-October through middle of April, end of April, when the fish spawn, the fish now are stocking up fuel. They're stocking up fat. They're trying to feed. They want to feed as often as they can. This is starting now. As we start to see warm days and cooler nights, we're getting into this post-summer transition. So what's happening is our fishing is going to change a little bit. We're going to start to see fish starting to feed more often, whereas, in the summertime, we had little spurts. We may go 25, 30, 45 minutes and catch, 6, 8 fish, and all of a sudden we go an hour and don't catch any. And then in the next 20 minutes, we catch, four, and then we go 45 minutes without any, and all of a sudden in 15-minute stretch, we catch 3 or 4. So that's going to change. You're going to see a lot steadier activity level from the game fish because now they're feeding more often. Food is getting less. their nature is telling them, hey, we need to start feeding up and getting fat. So what's going to happen is fish are going to start to feed longer for more consistent amounts of time. So fishing should be a little bit better. You won't see the spurts of good fishing, but you also won't see the times where you catch nothing. So fishing should start to get a little more consistent. You're also going to start to see a move of fish from shallow water out towards deeper drop-off. So one of the two of the key words we talk about in the fall, we talk about steep and deep. Access to deep water and steeper drop-off. So the fish that you've been catching all summer on these big flats or maybe away from major drop-offs, on gradual drop-offs where fish can get, you know, they got 12, 15 feet of water for miles, those types of flats. You're going to see a transition of the fish, a movement starting, you know, right now from those big flat areas to flats that are smaller and flats that are closer to deep water and flats that are closer to steep drop-offs. Because now as the weather starts to change, we're going to see a change in weather. We're going to start getting less consistent weather. We'll see weather change every 2 or 3 days as opposed to staying consistent like it does in the summer for 6, 7, 8 days. So what that triggers is fish want to be in a spot where they can go. If it's good for them and they want to be in 8, 9, 10 feet of water, they can. But also if they want to kind of get hunkered down in cold water, it's a little more stable, or deep water, it's a little more stable this time of year, down in 18, 20, 20 by 30 feet of water, they can do that fairly quickly without moving a long way. So we're seeing a transition from flats to flats that are smaller, narrower, and closer to steep drop-offs with deep water access. You'll see that on humps. You'll see that on drop-offs. You'll see that on points. You'll see a transition from the gradual dropping side of the point over to the steep dropping side of the point. So look at your lake map. Look at your Insight Genesis map. Look at your Navionics on your ranch unit. Pay attention to where you're fishing now. Find the closest access to deep water that has a steep drop, and you're going to start to see a transition from where you're catching fish now over to that area. So that's kind of our first phase of fall fishing. That's our transition from summer to early fall. We call it post-summer. So pay attention as you start to see these movements. Presentations really shouldn't change. You know, we're going fairly fast where we're fishing, 2.25 to 2.75 miles an hour every day, pulling crankbaits in shallow water and catching a lot of fish. Presentation really shouldn't change much. You know, crankbaits should start getting a little bit bigger because remember, the further we go into fall, the less bait there is. So the bait that we do have has been around since April or May when it hatched. So it's starting to get 3, 4, 5 inches long. So don't be afraid to continue fishing crankbaits or spoons, but maybe start to change to bigger crankbaits, longer spoons. Just kind of up the size of your bait. Fish, again, are looking for that massive influx of calories so they can build the fat level. So fishing shouldn't change much. Location is going to start to change. Next week, we'll talk about that transition from early fall or from post-summer into early fall, and we're going to definitely see a major movement then. And then for the next couple of weeks after that, we'll talk about how we go through the fall, because fall is a great time to walleye fish. So all of you who got through the Labor Day holiday, got your kids back in school, got some time to go fishing now, pay attention to that movement from flats over towards steeper drop-offs, access to deep water. You're going to catch a lot of fish. It's a good time of year to be on the water. We go through a little lull in late summer, a really good time to be on the water. Presentation, same crankbait, same spoon fishing, crawler harnesses, but everything should get bigger. Blade should get bigger, crankbait should get bigger, spoon should get bigger. You're going to catch a lot of fish this time of year and get in on the first part of the best fishing of the year, which is the fall fishing. Welcome back to the Teaching Fishing Podcast, and on to our next segment today. And what we're going to do every podcast, and we're going to start obviously with our first one today, is we're going to talk a little bit about boat rigging. So that's going to include rod holders, that's going to include electronics, that's going to include anything that you're going to put on your boat to make you a better fisherman from accessories. So today we're kind of going to start with something that we figured out through all the years of rigging boats. We're Lowrance sonar users. That's kind of our brand of choice for lots of reasons that we will get into as we go through our podcast here. But when we talk about boat rigging, one of the things that we've discovered is every 2 or 3 years, your transducer may go bad or you may break a transducer. Now, this is the first year in the last 4 years that I haven't broken a transducer off on debris in the Detroit River. And it really gets to be frustrating when you've got to completely pull the whole side of the boat off and run a transducer cable when you break a transducer. So we came out with a quick solution. Lowrance sells what they call a transducer extension cable. Like it comes in either 12-foot or 20-foot. And basically what we do, anytime we rig a boat, and what we recommend is anytime you rig your boat for the first time or have to put on a new transducer, the best thing to do is run this transducer extension cable. And what we do is we run the transducer extension cable to the back of our Lowrance unit, run it through the side, take the side of the boat apart, whatever we have to do, get it all tied down where it needs to be, get it out of the way of everything else, get it in there nice and secure. And then the extension cable goes all the way to the back corner of the boat. It should be the starboard corner. Again, we'll talk about transducer installation in a future podcast. But it should go down the starboard side of the boat, and the extension should stop in the starboard stern corner. Now what we do, if we ever have to change a transducer, we break a transducer off, transducer goes bad, we want to update a transducer to a different style, all we have to do is put a new transducer on the transom of the boat, run the transducer cable into the corner of the back corner of the boat, into the transducer extension cable, and we never ever have to tear that side of the boat apart again or rewire or do anything. So if you've ever had to run a transducer cable, especially a second time, you know how frustrating it can be. So an extra $20-$25 when you're rigging. So the next time you're going to put on a transducer, if you got some time this fall, maybe a little project to take care of is run a transducer extension cable between your Lowrance unit and the back corner of the boat. That way when you need to change transducers, you don't have to run a new cable. It's already set and ready to go. A great tip that's going to save you time and, more important, frustration if you ever change a transducer. Welcome back to our Teaching Fishing podcast, the original version, or the first version. We're so excited about what we've got going on here, and hopefully over the next couple weeks and months and years, you'll be part of listening to what we do and helping you catch more fish every time you're out. What we're going to do now is kind of change gears a little bit and talk a little bit about, we're going to spend some time talking about a specific product or something that we know works or that we're excited about talking about. Something you should have in your tackle box, and it's going to help you catch more fish. Now, we've talked a lot about, and as we go through the podcast, you're going to hear us talk a lot about depth control, about getting your bait in the right spot. And there are tons of ways to do that. Inline weights, snap weights, jet divers, dipsy divers, pick one. There's a ton of ways to get baits to the right depth. But every once in a while, something comes along that kind of changes how we handle depth control and how we actually use it. So I want to introduce you real quick. Some of you may have already seen this product. It's been out for, this is the second season, basically. This is an offshore tackle tadpole. And basically what it is, it's a weighted diving device. It's got a lip on the front. It comes in four sizes. This is the smallest size. There's a size 1, a size 2, a size 3, and what we call a size 4, or Magnum. And they're fantastic for depth control. Something we used a lot this year. To pull spoons, they're great for pulling crawler harnesses. If you are a crappie fisherman, pay attention. We're starting to see a lot of changes in the crappie world. Our buddy Tommy Scarless, who is a professional walleye fisherman, went down and has won some major crappie tournaments, basically taking walleye techniques and kind of modifying them to catch crappies. He's pulling small crappie jigs behind the small tadpole, so the jig is sitting back here and he can get it down any depth he wants without a lot of weight. So let's talk a little bit about why this tadpole is so cool and how it actually works. You can see on the top we actually have this little 90-degree diving arm. And what happens is we're going to attach our line to the snap here. And when we get this thing in the water, what's going to happen is we're going to want to get the snap up to the angle in the arm. And that's going to make the tadpole basically dive like that. So we're pulling this way. We're going to basically get the tadpole to dive like that. Now we have a diving lip, which does two things. Number one, it gives the bait a little side-to-side action, which helps some days. The other thing it does is it gives us a pretty consistent control of our depth, as opposed to just a hunk of lead that's hanging there. This is going to dive. We're going to be able to dial in our depth a little bit better. If you have the Precision Trolling app on your phone, or if you go to offshoretackle.com, you can get the dive curves for the tadpoles. So what's going to happen is we're going to hook our main line to here. We're going to get the snap into the groove in the arm. It's going to dive down, and our leader is going to be back here again, no longer than the length of our rod. I like about 4, 4.5, maybe 5-foot leaders are my favorites. I run a lot of spoons behind these, a lot of crawler harnesses. we're talking about fall fishing right now. We're going to talk as we go a little bit later into the next couple podcasts about fishing shallow crankbaits deep to get a shallow crankbait action down to where the fish are a little bit deeper in the fall. One of the best ways to do that is a tadpole with a shallow diving crankbait behind it. We'll come back and cover that in a couple weeks. So what's going to happen is our leader's going to be back out here with our lure. And what happens when a fish hits, instead of having this all this weight and this diving force, what's going to happen is when a fish hits, it's going to basically trip the tadpole. So now we're just reeling in the weight with no resistance. It's going to be a lot easier to reel in the weight. Guys are using the size 3 and size 4 for salmon fishing over on Lake Michigan. East part of Lake Erie for big walleyes has been a real popular way to get them down. I'm using the size 3 off the back of my boat to add a spoon off each corner into my spread. Now, I'm only trying to get down 12, 15, 18 feet sometimes, maybe 20 feet at the most. But that big size 3 diver dives very, very aggressively straight down. So I can get down to 20 feet with maybe 30 feet of line out. So it does two things. Short amount of line and a very aggressive steep dive angle. So I can bring the lures that are catching fish on my offshore inline planer boards. I can bring those in, catch those fish, and never have to clear that big Magnum tadpole run on the side of the boat. So lots of ways to run this. Put these in your tackle box, guys. Another way we use them in shallow water is to run stick baits behind them. In the weeds, not so much for depth, but what it does is this goes through the weeds. It actually plows out a little area of the weeds so our shallow diving stick bait can actually come through and not be as tangled. So offshore tackle tadpoles, you can check them out at our buddies at Offshore Tackle, offshoretackle.com. Check out their tadpoles. A great way for depth control. Lots of ways to use them. We'll talk about that more in an upcoming podcast. But check them out. Put a few in your box. They're going to help you catch more fish. Thanks for sticking with us and coming back to the next segment of our Teaching Fishing podcast. Again, I'm Captain Lance Valentine, founder of Walleye 101 and Teaching Fishing. Tim Walsh on the camera making me look good. Hopefully he's making me look tall and skinny if you're watching this on video. We want to take a minute now and just talk a little bit. Every podcast, we're going to do a little focus on something that we do at teachingfishing.com. And one of the things that we do, obviously, teachingfishing.com, we focus on education. And one of the ways that we're able to educate folks is we have a series of DVDs that you can either buy the DVD or actually download for streaming through our website. But every podcast, we're going to do a little focus on one of the educational products that we have here at Teaching Fishing. And today, we're going to spend a little bit of time just kind of talking about our Lowrance HTS Gen 3 button-pushing DVD. Now, these have been real popular. And what we've done for the last 5 years, as Lowrance units have changed, is we basically have gone back, put together a DVD that runs about an hour and 45 minutes. And basically what we've done is we've actually showed you all of the button-pushing you need to do to make your unit do the things that it's designed to do. We talked to a lot of our angler friends who don't understand how to do some of the features on their Lowrance unit. So this DVD is designed specifically as a button-pushing DVD. It works great with our sonar interpretation, our advanced GPS DVD that show you what you can do. But this is strictly a button-pushing product. If I want to do this, what buttons do I need to push? So the HTS Gen 3 Touch DVD is going to walk you through all the things. We spent a little bit of time talking about some features on the Gen 3, but more specifically on how to actually use it. One of the most important things in this DVD are the 8 things you have to do before you ever take your unit on the water. The 8 things you have to do to set your unit up properly to get it to give you the best reading. And a lot of folks miss those steps and complain that their unit doesn't work the way it should. Those 8 steps are included, obviously, on this DVD right at the start, and they're going to get you really headed in the right direction. So if you've got a Lowrance Gen 3, you're not quite sure how to work all the features, or if you have a Lowrance Gen 2 Touch that has the latest software update, past version 4.0, this will also work because the menus are exactly the same. You can get a hold of these at the website you can see on the screen, or get them at teachingfishing.com. You can go to our store and order the DVD or the download online. If you have a unit, guys, I promise you, this is going to make a difference in how you use it, how you understand it, and how you get the most out of it. You paid a lot of money for your Lowrance unit. Let's take a little bit of time, learn how to use it, and get some of the advantage of all the features so we can catch more fish by using all the cool things in our Lowrance sonar and GPS. Teachingfishing.com. Check out our DVDs. We're going to help you catch more fish by learning how to use your electronics a whole lot better. Well, hard to believe that our first podcast is coming to a close here. We're getting ready to start our last segment. In every podcast, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about marine electronics, sonar and GPS, because if you don't know anything about us, you'll learn quickly that we truly believe that using your electronics to the best of their ability, your sonar and your GPS, to find fish, find how active fish are, find how deep fish are, how they're located versus structure, how they're located around bait, and then use your GPS to stay on that. We feel that that is probably one of the most underutilized things that anglers do. They don't use their electronics properly. So every podcast, we're going to spend some time talking about your sonar and GPS and how to get the most out of it. So today we're going to start with a basic, a mistake that we see a lot of folks make. And if you want more details on this when we're done, and we're not going to be able to obviously show you everything here in our little podcast room, but if you go to teachingfishing.com and click on the Lowrance 101 link, we just did an article on 10 tips for transducer placement, because we get a lot of questions from guys at boat shows, through our Facebook interaction, email, at our seminars. A lot of guys thought, man, my unit just does not work. I can't mark fish past 8 miles an hour. I get lots of cavitation. I get lots of interference. It's just not working the way it should. And 99% of the time, the issue doesn't have anything to do with the unit. It goes right back to transducer installation, where the transducer is absolutely placed on the back of the boat. So what we're going to teach you is the transducer needs to be placed properly on the transom, needs to be placed at the right height up and down the transom, needs to be placed properly between the keel and the chine on the transom. It needs to be positioned level and positioned properly on the back of the transom to get the good reading. So that's all things that we cover in our article, 10 tips to transducer installation, and then another second article coming next week, advanced transducer installation, because if you don't have your transducer on properly, there's no way your unit's going to work. So take a little bit of time to check out teachingfishing.com with no G's, TEACHINFISHIN.com. Click on the Lowrance 101 link, and that'll take you to our article on 10 tips of transducer placement. Take a little bit of time to read it, and after you read it, go out to your boat, and I just about guarantee you that your transducer is not installed properly. So getting that transducer on right is the first step to getting the most out of your sonar. Take a little bit of time to get it right. We talk about the process to get it on there properly and things you need to pay attention to. It's going to help you catch a lot more fish, because your sonar is going to work every time you're on the water. You're going to see a lot more fish, which means you can catch a lot more fish.